Just be there. Yeah. Be in front of these people. Become familiar. Be a part of their daily routine in some way, or just make sure they see your face every day.
I've spent the last 10 years honing my skills as a designer and building on my experience to grow my career. Looking back on my journey, it got me thinking, what does it take to be a creative professional? How do you build an effective creative business or grow a successful career? I'm on an infinite quest to learn and apply something new every day. So join me as we dive into the stories and strategies of the most talented creators working today. My name is Anthony Spano, and this is Stay Creating.
Cool. All right. I'm sitting here with Dan Gluckman, program director for Sirius XM. How's it going, man?
It's doing pretty well, man. How about yourself?
Doing well on this beautiful Sunday.
It's gorgeous outside.
Yeah. Well, a week of rain and then sunshine will really brighten up your mood. But you're coming from up to New York from D.C.
From the nation's capital. I'm originally from Long Island, but I moved down to D.C. to take my job. And nice. I've been there for 5 years.
And you previously worked at Sirius XM in New York.
I interned there.
Oh, okay.
But I interned late in life, so I was like 28.
Right. So we'll make our way to that start. You've had a kind of a long-ish career or relationship with radio, let's say.
Yes, I've listened pretty much as long as I can remember. Like Howard Stern was always the number one morning. Like I'd wake up in the morning, getting ready to go to school. Always listen to Howard. Occasionally Z100 in the city.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Z100 is nationwide.
Or maybe.
Was at the time.
Yeah, maybe. It's like syndicated throughout probably the country.
Before iHeartRadio. As a kid, though, were you always interested in radio as far as like what age were you listening to Howard in the morning?
Like 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, early. Because my parents, or not my parents, but my brother and my dad got me in because they used to listen.
Listen in the morning. So I should say that you do have kind of a history of broadcasting in your family. Your father was on television.
Yes.
As
a broadcaster. An anchorman.
Wow.
Not as funny as Will Ferrell, but yes.
A real life anchorman.
Yeah. And so, he did radio also before he was on.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. So he has that in his background as well.
Interesting. In New York?
In New York.
He was born and raised in New York?
Born and raised.
Wow. I didn't realize that he was on radio early on. So he, you know, he kind of made the rounds. He was on CNBC, I believe, right? Long Island News 12.
He did NBC regular to Channel 4 here in New York.
Wow.
So he was around there. I think that maybe put a little bit of the bug into me.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because like, if you, you know, take your kid to work day, so
totally.
I'd go to the news stations and I'd see. Like, I cared more about the vending machines because yeah. I was just a kid. So it was like, all right, this is like an office, but it had to have rubbed off in some way, you know?
I know what you mean. I mean, I used to go to work with my dad, and my dad was, he used to deliver oil. Like, he was a very blue-collar worker. I will be honest, I was always excited to go, right? But I never really thought, well, I want to do this, you know? It never, like, seeped in that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's interesting. Well,
and radio never was a thing for me. I always listened to it. Like, I never...
Right.
It never occurred to me, like, oh, I could do that if I wanted to. It did. We can get there.
Well, I was going to say, when do you think it clicked for you?
I know when it clicked, but I think it's going to take us a different, like it's going to, we'll maybe not going to follow the route of the conversation we wanted to, but I'll take you there.
Yeah.
I knew because I went for a job interview in to be a news. I was writing the news. So I used to write the news. I worked for CNN very, very briefly, News 12 Long Island, and then Channel 5, Fox 5, Channel 5 here in the city. So,
Well, hold on. Give me a background of like where you started. So you went to school for communications
and English.
Okay. So you felt like writing would be somewhat in your future as a career, or at least it would sort of be involved
in some way. Yeah. Because I always wrote for like my high school papers.
Yeah.
Like my college newspapers, just like CD reviews, concert reviews. It was always like music related
mm-hmm.
stuff. It was never like hard news. It was always like, hey, I saw so-and-so like a comedian or whatever. And
right.
I'd read a review.
Well, I remember back in college. So Dan and I go back a little bit, actually quite a bit from like high school. I do remember you writing for your college newspaper and you would write articles. Your column was called Under the Radar.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Good. Dude.
Nice.
If you would ask me to remember that right now, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Well, I remember you covered a few bands that you were into, which was really cool because you were able to take like your interests musically, right? And then and bands that you were like genuinely interested in and write about them, you know, yeah. Let people know. Which there's things out there now like that. So you were, I think,
ahead of the curve
for sure. I remember I'd be like, yo, write a review for this band.
Yeah.
The one you did.
I think RX Bandits is probably one of them. And yeah. Yeah, it was great. I got to kind of choose whatever I wanted. So if a band that I liked had a new album coming out, I'm like, I'll write a review.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy.
So out of college then, so that's when you started your kind of the news?
Yeah, I interned at News 12 Long Island and I had done well. They offered me a job like right out of college basically. And so, you know, at the time I was like, I graduated college. I needed a job. This is great. I'm getting one at a place that I just interned at. They like me. And So I began writing, or I was a production assistant first. And so that's just like getting scripts for the anchors, pulling videotape. If there's a, you know, if we do a story about McDonald's, I don't know, raising prices or whatever, like they would need video, generic, like B-roll of, so like you pull all that video, you pull it for the reporters. It's like, it's a very much a, hey, we need to get this done. You go do it, like entry level, which is great. It was great because you do everything, but yeah.
Yeah. And you said you weren't really in love with the news. It wasn't really what you wanted to do. It was a foot in the door.
Anthony, I hated the news. It was
nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed, dude. I hated it. Then I hated it. I never. The news is always boring to me. If you want to know the truth, I never. I hate. It sounds so ignorant. I'm like, oh, I just don't really care about it. Like I know how that sounds, but it is true. I just don't.
Sure.
It was never really interested me. Like I was always about music. I was always about just that kind of entertainment side of stuff.
Well, even then, I mean, at that time when you joined News 12, it was very local and newsy. Nothing new or interesting or exciting for someone like you to kind of, you know, take on your own.
Nothing. And even if I would pitch them ideas on things that I wanted to do. Like there was a Long Island Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like a music or like Rock Hall of Fame, but it's like a Long Island specific one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just remember pitching ideas of, hey, so-and-so is getting inducted and it's like a hard rock band.
Yeah.
Or, and one of the members is a native Long Islander. But unless it's like Billy Joel, they don't care. So even when I tried to pitch ideas that were sort of more of what I wanted to do, they'd get shot down.
But I will say the time that you joined News 12, we kind of had just missed the local music scene that happened maybe just a few years prior that we were kind of a part of.
The emo, like the Taking Back Sunday, the brand new.
Totally. I mean, they would all hit. There were great venues on Long Island that they would all hit. And if you were real fans of those bands, you would most likely get sort of like a twofer for the summer or whatever tour they were doing because they would play Long Island and Manhattan.
Yeah.
So if you were a real fan, you would do both, which I routinely did.
Yeah.
But music has always been a thing that you've connected to.
Yeah, it's always been my number one thing. It's weird that I never thought of that as a job, a line of work in some capacity. I just never thought of, even just going back to like, I don't know if this is boring or not, but like behind the music, stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Or constantly listen or watch any music, even if it was like a Whitney Houston, some artist that I wouldn't listen to, but like, oh cool, let me hear about her story.
So
it was
a star,
Just all, going to concerts and just, yeah, man, like CDs the day they came out, I gotta ride my bike to the, it's like I'm that young, I gotta ride my bike and go grab it from the CD store, like Slipdisc and Valley Stream back in the day. And so, yeah, music has always been there. I just, I never thought about it as a job opportunity or avenue.
So after the news, you worked, you said at CNN briefly as well, but when were you able to kind of make that jump to radio?
I went, so that's when I did CNN very briefly. It was like overnights, and I hated it because I was going to bed at, it was over the summer, so I'd be going to bed at like 8 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, and there are kids still playing because the sun's out, and I'm trying to go to bed so I can get up at 11 p.m. to take a midnight train.
Yeah, so now you're 1 a.m. You're the old cranky guy.
Dude.
Yeah.
And I'm a nervous wreck because it's CNN, and like, because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing compared to, like, to me, it's like, oh my God, it's CNN.
Right.
You know, so I'm nervous. So anyway, it was overnights on top of my nerves, on top of hating what I did. So I had to, you know, kind of branch out. And so but it's the same thing. And now it got to the point where I said, all right, well, I hate the news and I'm not having fun at CNN. So I ended up moving to Fox 5. Still hated the news during this whole time, but then I started to hate living at home even more.
Okay.
So I started applying for jobs and I had a job interview in Philly. Mm. And for same what I was doing, like, oh, sorry, same like associate producer writing the news, whatever. And so the turning point for me was I blew this job opportunity in a big way. Like, I met with the news director.
Yeah.
Like, I did no prep for this because I didn't really care. Okay. I just was like, if I can get a job and move out.
Was it that you didn't want to move to Philly?
No, I was fine with Philly. It was just like, oh, great, another news job. Right. A job that I hate.
Okay.
I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't want to live at home. So let me just.
Yeah.
So I didn't prepare.
Any way to get out, but you didn't really put too much into it.
Nothing. It was just like I totally winged it.
Right.
Totally winged it. And the news director is like, he said something like, what do you like about our station? And I'm like, I don't know.
You know? Said, I don't know.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I was so checked out. It's a funny story now.
Yeah.
But I was so mortified in the moment. She's like, so what do you like about it? I'm like, I don't really know. She's like, okay, well, you have a smartphone, right? And I go, yeah. She goes, you didn't think on the train down here to just pop open like a web browser and just see like what our programming was and what we did? Like, you didn't, on the train down, you didn't think to
roasting you on an interview.
I go, I drove. So that's kind of how I left that.
Yeah.
And I remember getting into my car feeling like such an idiot and such a loser and like lost and like not knowing.
Right. 'Cause
like clearly I don't want to do this. And I just blew this job out for me. So I turned on the radio and I sat there for a minute and I thought, oh my God, like, wait, people work there. Like, how is this being,
right?
Like, it's on the air. This is getting done somehow.
There's people behind this organization.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. How do I do that? Wait, holy crap. How do I do that? And then it became like, all right, I'm going to figure that out. And so that was like the turning point of like, I think I even said to myself on the way home, driving home from my friend's place, like, you have 2 hours to figure out what you want to do. 'Cause clearly news is not it. And it's somewhere I clicked like, someone's got to do this. Why not me?
That's a sick story, dude. You never think about that, especially like as kids, you turn the radio on and that's just like what you're used to, you know, it's just there. But when you really think about what's sitting behind it, you know, it is a whole organization made up of people and work and creativity that people are putting to put this on every single day.
Every day.
Especially when you're talking about satellite radio, that they took a big leap. I mean, it was essentially a startup, right? Both of them.
Yeah.
Startups that had like a, you know, I guess a vision of cable on the radio, right? That's essentially what it was. So, all right, you decide, I want to be part of this.
How did I make that jump? I just said, you know, like, so I tried to figure out, okay, well, someone does this. How do I do this? I was going to go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Okay.
And like everybody talked me out of it. I work with a guy in the sports department of News 12 who taught there.
Huh.
And he was like, dude, you've been working here for you've been in broadcasting for 8 years or whatever it was at the time.
Right. You have the whole backlog of experience.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to go to school for this. You know, you just need, I think he says, you just need radio experience. You know, that's,
right.
you're in broadcasting. Just don't go backwards.
That's great advice.
It was super great advice. And you know, it was because it would have been like 10 grand or something.
Oh, dude. And it would have sent you back time-wise, too.
Everything. So I kind of just went to CW Post. And because my dad had gone to college there. So because of his broadcasting background, he had done the radio station there. I kind of got lucky in this regard. I also had a little bit of a break because I said, hey, can I just shadow someone and just kind of get experience and just watch them? And the guy's like, you want to just do a show?
Wow.
I go,
he offered you a show?
He goes, yeah. He's like, Wednesday from like 7 to 9, I have a 2-hour thing. Like,
oh, dude.
What kind of music are you into? What do you want to do? And I'm like, I want like a metal show. I want to do some sort of a hard rock, heavy metal. He's like, well, we have another metal show, but it's on a different night, whatever. Like, you want to do it, just do it.
So would you name it Not Another Metal Show? That's funny, dude. Wow.
That's
so
funny.
So you were the second metal show on CW Post's channel.
And not even the other guy, his name is Pat. I think it was Pat's. I can plug him, right? I think he still does it. Like Pat,
oh, wow.
Pat's Shred Shack, I think it's called.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I think he's made a name for himself and he was much more successful than I ever was. I kind of went into, I think he was doing it because he loves it. Not that I didn't, but mine was like for the express purpose of, how do I get into SiriusXM? Like, let me get this radio experience. And then I also went back to community college, like Nassau Community, where I went.
Oh, you did?
And took a radio production class.
Oh, wow. So you got like the technical aspect of it, right? Technical knowledge.
Yeah.
And then you were doing your own radio show, which is ridiculous.
I mean, it was internet only. Yeah. Like nobody heard. It was one of those things where like I would tell two of my friends at work, like who were also into heavy metal. And like, I was like, yo, like here's the web link, you know, on Wednesdays or whatever. And then I bring my buddy Mike on and we just BS for two. And like we were talking to like you know, probably two people, and they're both my friends.
Yeah, but that's it was great. Getting that experience. That's really running the board,
like nice. You know, yeah, it was awesome.
Which is great that you were doing it with, you know, kind of a plan in mind and not just being like, okay, so I'm gonna start a college radio and let's see where it takes me. Like you had the idea, I wanna be at SiriusXM.
Yes.
All right, so from there, CW Post Radio, you have your own show. Where does it go from there?
One of the things that I was doing with this radio, with the WCWP at CW Post Radio Station, was I was interviewing bands. They'd come through,
okay,
and I'd use like my radio station as I would never say, obviously nobody's listening.
Yeah, well, they don't need to know that.
They just need to hear college radio station, right. And that maybe sounds good from like a demo standpoint. So
ran the board, had my own show, interviewed guests.
Dude, right? That's all you need. So I talked to like one of the guitarists from All That Remains. I talked to a guy from Killswitch, Engage. Like a bunch of bands that were just I was fans of that they came through and
CW Post Radio that's great.
And that's how I met Jose Mangan for the first time, where I ran into him at a show at Roseland, rest in peace. And I ran into him and I was just like, hey man, I'm a huge fan of yours. I like listen to you all the time on the radio, and like I'm trying to get into radio.
Yeah,
I want to be your intern. How can I intern for you? And he was so nice, so cool, and everything. And then I would just kind of tweet him here and there, like, don't forget about me, bro. I want to be your intern.
Nice.
And then cut to, I went to that metal night at the show. I'm like, hey, I'm the guy who keeps tweeting you. I'm the guy that you met at that first show.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be your intern. I just drove here from Long Island just to tell you that, you know
what
I mean?
Dude.
And he's like, all right, man. And he put my name in his phone. And when I, whatever happened on the HR, you know, when I submitted everything kind of way, I ended up interning for him.
And good for you, man.
It was a mix, in my opinion, between me putting in the work to make it happen, like going to CW Post to say, hey, can I shadow someone, and then doing the show.
For sure.
Getting the radio production experience, going, like, taking that class and ask the community.
Dude, that's a great hustle on your end. You know, I guess, you never realize when somebody's like really deep in it, like in your head, you just had this, like this vision of what you wanted. I think you made all the right steps.
It's crazy, man. And my parents weren't happy about it because they were, you know.
Why?
From my dad having worked in broadcasting, you know, and he's not wrong, because now, you know, now we can talk about it maybe later, but like even think about now, like Spotify and all the different competition, his attitude even back then was, you know, radio's dying.
But okay, so you weren't really seeing it then, and I get wanting to have like radio experience or at least be on the biggest possible radio organization that you can be in.
Yes. Yeah. To me, Sirius has always been, in terms of radio, the top of the mountain.
Absolutely.
So why, you know, it would make sense to it would have made sense also to start in FM and just try maybe local New York radio or local Long Island, whatever.
I'm glad
and
you
then
didn't
work.
Do that.
No, me neither. I just thought, you know, and the other thing too, a big driving force was listening to like Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez and all that talk programming, even beyond the music part, just because that's what I listened to it every single day. So for me, it was like, this is the company.
Yeah.
Like I had XM before they merged.
You had been doing your research.
Kind of.
Daily research listening to this, you know, and you're like, yeah, this is it.
This is the company that I want to work for. And like all my favorite programming, because back when I used to work in TV, I never watched TV. I only listened to the radio.
It goes back to that interview. Like you didn't think to like watch or pay attention to any of the shows that we have or anything. No, because you didn't have an interest in it. Right. But now naturally you're just listening to these shows every single day. And yeah, obviously you have a natural interest in it, you know.
Totally.
Tell me, you know, about the first instance of you working at SiriusXM. That he put you down in his phone.
I was an intern. I was mad old. I was like 28. But that doesn't mean anything. Like, do what you want, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Just go for it.
I think that's a testament to that whole thing, you know. Like, you can do it at any time.
Yes.
You don't have to be fresh out of college to do this stuff.
Sure. And that's, you know, anybody who's younger listening, one of the things that I took away from that internship is that, you know, coming from being a little bit older and a little more old school, like I would look around and I'd see 20, you know, like regular 20-year-old interns on their phones all day.
Yeah.
And whereas I'd be turning to the guy that I was interning with and like my mentor role and saying, like, I'd get in 2 hours before him. He'd get in and I'd be like, hey, man, I took care of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
I've gotten these three things done. And I look around and everyone else is on their phone. And it's like,
wow. Waiting for somebody to tell them what to do.
Exactly. Or just maybe not interested or whatever it is. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know if that's because I'm older and had work experience or
definitely
whatever. Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, regardless of how old you are now, like make that. It's easy to outwork the people around you and stand out that way. I don't think enough people care.
Yeah.
And even just showing a little bit of extra, going a little extra mile, like outworking them, doing more than the people around you, will help you stand out.
Well, so you've been super hungry even just within SiriusXM. I mean, you've seen an opportunity, in front of you, and you've taken them when you can.
I try to. And I think some of that's age, some of that's my own, I don't want to say arrogance, but some of it's sort of like, I'm 34 and I work around a lot of younger people, which is great. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
But what I mean by I'm 34 is that I had to start over. So mm-hmm. If I had continued in news, I may have been a producer at a city station and I would have gone down that road. But I had to start over into radio, go back to entry level at 29 or whatever. Thank God I was living at home and I was able to make that happen and not have significant bills or, a wife and a family and anything like huge.
Right.
And I was very fortunate to have that. I was hungry because I wanted to get back to where I was had I not changed jobs.
Right. All right. So tell us about Turbo. This is what you're here to promote today.
Yeah. If you got SiriusXM, which you should, hello. Yeah, Turbo is I wouldn't call it my baby but it is.
It is.
It is. It started as it was on channel 314. It was an internet only channel. You can only get it on the app or through the web browser.
Okay, you're jumping ahead. This was your brainchild that you brought to them.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So
giving you more credit than you deserve.
I wish. Yeah, but I will say I took it to where it is now.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it was, people have been pitching it, from what I was told now, people have been pitching it earlier. So it's 90s and 2000s hard rock.
Right.
But like the heart of what I play is like Korn, Limp Bizkit,
right.
Metallica, Godsmack, Seven Dust, like that hard rock 90s, 2000s.
Yep. The way like K-Rock used to be in around that time.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like Kid Rock was big with Ba right. with a Ba and like that kind of like TRL.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It leaked into that mainstream TRL like crowd.
World. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about niche, like if you're into that niche thing or whatever, but that was sort of the dream of SiriusXM initially, right? Oh, you're into 50s music? We have a channel for that. We have, what are you into? We're in, yes. We have a channel for it. So it's cool that it made its way into the regular channels and not just internet only.
For sure. So we started taking over another channel called Octane. Octane plays channel 37. It's the new, it's modern hard rock. So whatever hard rock bands are big now.
Okay.
So once a month, we started doing Turbo takeovers.
Okay. That's how it started.
That's how it started. It was just sort of to give people a taste who don't have the radios that are capable, and they're not capable of getting my channel. It's just too high up in the dial.
Well, I think the thinking there is actually great, right? It's like, oh, the people that are into this thing now will most likely have been into it back in the 90s and 2000s.
Totally.
So they would love that sort of nostalgia.
Nostalgia, and also Octane does play some of that older stuff.
Okay.
So, if let's say Korn, for example, comes out with a new song, they're going to play it on Octane.
Right.
But you'll also hear, let's say, Freak on a Leash and an older stuff, like a classic hit from them. Yeah. So people, there was definitely a demand for it. Every time we would do a Turbo takeover, people would freak out. Social media would blow up. Like, oh my God, like,
that's
why,
awesome.
Why isn't this a full channel? Or why can't I get this channel? Why is it so high up on the dial?
Yeah.
And we just kept taking over for like a year, I think.
That's really sick.
And then, it caught on and people were into it. We replaced Faction, which was channel 41. So now, if you want to get Turbo, it's channel 41. Please listen to it.
That's really cool, man. So now it's a permanent staple on the channels, on the dial.
Channel
That's
41.
Great.
Channel 41.
This has been awesome. Really, really glad to take, that you took us through your journey, if you had to give one piece of advice for somebody looking to break into the radio industry, the broadcasting industry, or any type of thing like that.
Can I give you different advice?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't know if what I did would even work anymore.
Sure.
Which is such a weird thing to say because only 5 years ago. I mean, like stalking someone. I think I got lucky in that regard.
Yeah, but I think that's a huge part of it. You were willing to do, quote unquote, free work as an intern.
Yeah, totally.
And also you went back to, college radio to just take on the experience of actually running a show. And even at that time, they gave you that show. You might have just been shadowing somebody at college radio. So they gave you that opportunity, which is awesome. But I think that initial hustle was, it's so underrated and you can't duplicate that.
To that end, sometimes I think it's just showing up. Like,
yeah.
I'm a big wrestling guy,
okay.
for better or for worse. But there's this guy, Paul Heyman, and he's on WWE now. But he ran ECW. He was completely the head president in charge of everything. And his story was really interesting to me because he started just by taking photos of wrestlers.
Right.
And he kind of, scammed his way into like backstage. Hey, like, you know, let me take a picture for the magazines, whatever.
Yeah, but it's not
and
even scamming.
Well, no, but he kind of like finagle truth okay. just to get back there. But he was doing it for a point because he showed up so much that the wrestlers would know him and go, oh no, he's fine. Let him in.
Right.
And like that kind of fascinated me. He just sort of embedded himself in this business that he ended up founding his own wrestling organization. So it's just the idea of just showing up, being familiar. That's another reason why internships are a good thing, because you're there all the time. So when it comes time to hire someone, they go, oh yeah, we know so-and-so. We've been working with him for the last 3 months or whatever.
Exactly.
Just be there.
Yeah.
Be in front of these people. Become familiar. Be a part of their daily routine in some way, or just make sure they see your face every day.
Yeah.
So I think that played a role. And when I interned, then it became time. You know, I kill it. at your internship or whatever it is.
Yeah, do a good job.
So when your name comes up, they go, oh yeah, I've been working with this person, and they do a great job.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
The other thing I wanted to say is, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because I know we've been talking about this podcast,
yeah,
is in terms of creativity, is to be creative when it hits you. Mm-hmm. So I've seen this in your Twitter every once in a while, like, not every once in a while, just one time, but you had said, you had tweeted yourself something about, you know, write stuff down, because creativity and those kind of thoughts that you get are fleeting. And so write that down, because the idea of, oh, I'll remember that.
You will
not remember that. So for me, a lot of the times is, and one of the things I think we were going to talk about, we didn't get to, and that's, I don't care, that's fine, is some of the writing aspects. So I write all the production on Turbo. So when there's, people kind of call them commercials, they don't, because it's just a break in the music.
Yeah.
So it's like an imaging piece. It's a production piece.
Right.
It'll be some sort of an attitude. Like, so for me, it's 90s and 2000s hard rock, Korn, Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit. So it might be like, yo, baggy jeans or the mosh pit or chain wallets or whatever is like nostalgic for that time.
Yeah.
So I write all that stuff. And a lot of the time, with regard to being creative, it's like I always say, I can't be creative on demand. It's just hard for me to be creative on demand. So it's hard to schedule, hey, Tuesday at 9 a.m. when I get in, I'm going to write a bunch of imaging and write a bunch of production pieces. You can't make that kind of an appointment, because maybe you're not going to wake up. Maybe you won't get good sleep. Anyway, what my point is, if you wake up on a Sunday and you're feeling creative and you're off, let's say, do whatever you got to do. Because on Monday, you may walk in and your boss or whoever may want a bunch of stuff from you, and you're like, I don't know.
Right.
Because you didn't capitalize on that Sunday creativity.
Yeah.
Now you walk in on Monday and your brain may be off because you're not into it, but now you at least still have all this stuff.
Yeah.
The point is, when you're feeling creative, take a minute, text yourself an idea.
Right.
Email yourself.
Just document
voice
it.
Note, document it in some way, because you're going to need that creativity somewhere else where your brain may not be there. So like, whenever you feel creative,
Take advantage. I think this is really great insight. Awesome having you on. I know we've been trying to do this for a long time. And everybody, listen to Turbo on Channel 41.
Do it.
Sirius XM. And hopefully you'll hear Dan on the air someday. Awesome, man. All right, dude. Great talking to you. And we'll speak soon.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Later.
I hope you guys enjoyed that rapid fire episode with Dan. He is killing it right now in his career, as is his company SiriusXM, who just recently bought Pandora. Be sure to check out all the great things Dan is doing over on his channel Turbo on Channel 41, and you could follow some of Dan's writing for them on Facebook and Twitter at SXMTurbo. You could check us out on Instagram at Stay Creating. Shoot me a DM. I want to hear from you. I feature every guest that I have on the podcast on the Instagram account, so you can get a vibe of who the guests are and the work that they do. With this podcast, I've been fortunate enough to connect with some really unique voices and bring you stories of talented, hardworking, hustling creators. These are origin stories mixed with insight into how they took their talent and skill and turned it into a career for themselves. So I hope you're able to take something away from these stories, and I want to hear from you on what you'd like to hear more of. So be sure to check us out on LinkedIn, where we'll be mixing it up in the professional landscape. Of course, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, make sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review. I want to hear from my fellow creators out there who every damn day stay creating. Peace.